Hi, everybody. I'm Will.
And I'm JC. And you're listening to Dude.
For those who don't know, we've tried this intro maybe 10 or 12 times, and we cannot sync up correctly. We try to say dude at the same time.
I just wish technology would get to a point where it could allow us to sync up the dude. Maybe one day, you know, we can't even fix a horse's bones, but maybe one day we can allow us syncing up the word dude to align.
That's why I won't drive a self-driving car. I say, you got to work on the syncing of microphones first.
That's a good baseline for just about any action in life, you know?
Once they fix that, then I'll drive the self-driving car.
Getting in no plane? I don't know, like, what accent that was. It was kind of like a sassy southern woman, perhaps. I don't trust them plates. I saw that video of that window. It came off. That boy sucked that boy's shirt off. That's why I don't fly.
You know, something about that woman just makes me think she can make a really delicious goulash.
Oh, no doubt. She makes a fabulous goulash. How was your weekend, by the way, Mr. Skaggs?
You know what? Eventful.
Did you do CPR on a fox?
No, that was okay. Last weekend. That was last
okay.
weekend.
Okay, that makes sense. Sure.
I worked on the garden with my son. Mm-hmm. We dug up some dirt. Got the weeds out of there.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Mm. We are our house sitting our neighbor's dog, Maisie. So Maisie.
Well, hold on. Are you house sitting the dog or dog sitting? Because you're going to the house to see the dog. Really, you're kind of doing both, I guess. It's sort of I guess you could say I'm dog sitting, or you could see I'm house, because you're checking on the house. Both are being checked on concurrently.
Maybe my brain doesn't want to say dog sitting because I think about sitting on a dog. That dog is sitting in my house for the weekend.
Wait, hold on.
In my house too.
Hold on.
I'm not sitting on a dog. The dog is sitting in my house for the weekend.
So wait a minute. Hold on. This is a wrinkle. So there's no house sitting going on at all. It's just the dog sitting.
There's a house involved, and that house is that the dog is in my house. But our neighbor's house, nobody's sitting in at all.
So that house could have burnt down. There could be all kinds of terrible activities going on in that house, and you have no responsibility over that house. All you have responsibility on is the dog, which, if you think about it, is a lot easier to kind of ingest and go forward with.
That house is not my damn problem. She didn't ask me to sit for it.
You're right. Just the dog.
Shifting gears, though. While we were talking, I noticed that you have a new tattoo. Did you get a new tattoo this weekend?
No, I got a new tattoo.
Hold your arm. Show everyone. For people watching this.
Look at all those.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That one by your thumb.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, this little lady here?
Is that another lady beside your wife?
So, here's the thing. No and yes. So, is this my wife? Yes, to a degree.
Oh, sure. Okay. Yeah.
Well, it's the truth. Well, the truth of the matter is, again, am I married to this horse? I'm not married to this horse or this man on this horse. Now, I my whole arm is like an homage. It's like a Western art piece, basically. It's all American classic Western art that I put on there. And this little cow gal is a pretty cool piece that I had identified for a long time and wanted her on me. And so what I've done to her is I made sure that her hair color was the same as my beautiful wife, Carol Ann. And mm-hmm. I also mm-hmm. made sure too, if you look at her bandana, she has a red, white, and blue band, and which is kind of symbolic of the fact that Carol Ann teaches American history, and that's a very big part of her. Now I'm going to give myself kudos there, but I got in trouble for her, and here's why. So when I went in to get the work done, the artist was like, hey, what color do you want her eyes? And I said, well, my wife's eyes are brown. And she said, yeah, cool, but it's going to look better if they're blue, because it's going to contrast better and it's going to pop better. And the initial piece, I believe, has blue eyes. And so I just said, like any dumb man, I go, yeah, okay, that sounds like a good idea. And then Carol Ann was not very happy when she saw the blue eyes. She goes,
blue eyes. Maybe you should tell her to get some color contacts.
Yeah, it's her fault. I need to topsy-turvy it and make it her fault. I think you need blue eyes.
Listen, I got the tattoo. It's permanent.
It's your permanent. Your eye color can change. Fixable. Let's get it done. Get it fixed. I snap like that. It just happens. No, so yeah, so that's my new, because I'm gonna do the whole. I'm gonna do the whole arm. Yeah.
Are you doing your own arm?
Like, what do you mean? I'm doing my own arm? Like, I'm tattooing myself?
No. Are you going to tattoo your other arm?
No, I'm just gonna do the one.
Ah, okay.
I think that's always like the classy. I've always thought that was like the classy soccer player look, you know.
Oh,
and as you know, I'm a classy soccer player at heart. People often look at me and they say, yeah, he's J.C. Crum, but inside he's really a classy soccer player. Or sake player. Maybe I just drink sake and, I don't know, play the piano. But classy soccer player.
Classy soccer player. You know who else is? The very few people that I think have tattoos and I'm like, oh, that looks pretty good, is John Mayer. And he has only one arm tattoos.
I know. Listen, old John. I was thinking of old John. Mr. Mayer when I've seen that tattoo. Yeah, I always wanted it. And yeah, as an adult. Anyway, that's boring. We won't talk about that. Let's forget about my tattoos. You know?
I'm just drawing parallels of your tattoos to old Johnny May.
To old Johnny? That's my John Mayer.
It's perfect. You look just like him. When did John Mayer come to your home?
he came over and that's all he did. He just kind of, oh man, you look unbelievable with those eclipse glasses on. Okay, Will, the eclipse happens tomorrow. It is a huge deal nationally. I think it's the totality of the eclipse. That's the word I keep hearing. And of course, I always think of Total Eclipse of the Heart, classic song. What are you doing for the eclipse? And when is the eclipse? Because I don't even, do you know when it is? Tomorrow?
Thank God you have come to me, because I have none of those answers. We briefly kind of talked about this, but I would wish I cared about this kind of stuff, but I don't. It's cool. And if somebody provides me glasses, which my wife bought these, by the way, she's the good one who wants our boys to remember this.
Well, she also doesn't want you to go blind. I think that's the other problem. I think it will burn like holes in your retinas if you just like stare at it.
Ah! Yeah. That's an old wives' tale.
What are they? Science is... I don't believe that.
Staring at the sun is an old game I used to play as a kid. Look at me.
Look at me. I'm fine. That's what those liberals want you to believe. Those snowflakes and their science.
You know what? Speaking of science, when I was younger, my mom had a box of Special K. And I remember I used to eat it because I had like little dried strawberries. And I'm like, this is
delicious. Oh, yeah. It's like the space. Remember the space food? Space food was a big deal.
Well, this wasn't space food. This was like a cereal meant for
kids. I also do love that it was a, because I love Special K, and it was definitely aimed at women. Like, there was never a man eating Special K on the commercials.
There's nothing I know of.
God forbid.
I ate bowls of this.
Oh, me too. And
it was around the time I got puberty, and like, I got these weird little knots on my nipples, and I thought, damn it, it's from that Special K. And I was so afraid. I told my mom, I said, Mom, I think I'm growing boobs because I hate your Special K.
No, you didn't. I do. I remember the knots in your nipples. I remember you. I was
terrified.
I remember at some point, like, we were like, I don't know, like playing a video game or like walking around. And you're like, hey, I got to talk to you about something. And I was like, yeah. And you're like,
very concerned.
I think I have something in my nipples. And I was like, nope. I don't think I handled it with a lot of maturity. I don't, as a seventh grader or sixth grader, probably won't do. But man, I'm so glad that Special K didn't really destroy your nips.
I mean,
or you didn't grow breasts.
You don't.
But also, I mean, you know, it probably, how bad would it have been? Actually, it's kind of a win. You would have had your own set of knockers. You would have been great.
I mean, after the initial shock of having boobs, you know, I think I could have lived with it.
I mean, it would have been great. I mean, listen, there's people who are paying tens of thousands of dollars to do that by choice today. You get that for probably
a couple
hundred dollars in delicious cereal. I mean, you really were the winner.
Would you have been more or less better, like, more of a friend with me if I had boobs, or less, like, you know, Will's got boobs.
I mean, listen, I'll be honest with you. I mean, you know, middle school boob, like, it's like a bug to light. You know what I mean? So I probably, unfortunately, Will, I don't know. I mean, I would we have been closer? Yeah. Could it have created some sort of conflict? Because maybe I wanted to, like, you know, touch him at some point or something. Like, it could have created some bizarre, you know, friend relationship. But I think we would have gotten past it, you know. And ultimately, you probably could have made a lot of money. You could have just had people, like, you know, pay you to touch them. And you could have made a ton of money. You could have really, I mean, you could have been, like, the first OnlyFans. Only Will. That's what it would be called. Only Will.
Only Wells.
Only,
it's just... You pay $5, you get one squeeze.
Yep.
$10, you get a double squeeze.
Exactly. And it's a win-win. Everybody wins.
Everyone wins.
It's great. I mean, there's very few real, true win-win situations. Right there, we just created one. Boom. I remember, I always think about this because I make, I make a lot of tuna. This is how interesting our podcast is. I make a lot of tuna salad. I love tuna salad. The content is so good. What are they talking about? Yeah. And Trey, my 1.5-year-old son, loves tuna salad as well. He's a big fan.
Since when have you liked tuna? I've never seen you eat tuna salad.
It's something that I always kind of had a little bit of a, you know, you can't bring it to lunch in like middle school. You'd be ostracized. Imagine the kid who brought it. Like,
yeah, that's true.
You'd stink
you,
all day. It's terrible. You already stink.
You hit it, honestly.
Oh my God. You can't, and there's no axe that can like wipe out the smell of tuna. That is you're marked, man.
Yeah.
You know? Scarlet letter of smell is tuna. Anyway, so I was thinking about this because I've been using a lot of mayonnaise, right? You'd use the mayonnaise. And I was told, I said, sorry. I remember being told this when I was younger, that if you left mayonnaise in the sun, it would grow his hair.
Yeah.
How do you know that? Why do we all know this?
I don't know. I don't know.
Like, why is that crazy? Like a fact? And people, like, you like finished my sentence. You're like, yeah, gross hair. Everybody knows that.
Has anyone ever actually done it? Nobody wants to see mayo go bad. Maybe that's why. Maybe
what kind of ever done it. Is it like, does it have like different hairstyles? Like,
like a pompadour, like a nice comb over.
You're like looking at it. It's got like frosted tips. Like, it's like got like the early 90s, like boy band. Like, I'm like, oh, my mayonnaise is from like the 90s.
I got some mayos out there and it forms a little boy band. I love that.
I'm playing like Bye Bye Bye. I like.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. That'd be great. You give it a perm. You can perm your mayonnaise.
What are you doing out there? Just perming my mayo.
That's what we should do. You know how there's like chia pets and the chia pet has the seeds? We should just have that, but you cover it in mayonnaise and leave it in the sun, and then it has hair all over it, and you can do all kinds of things. That's our $1 million idea.
Hey, you gave me a $1 million idea on top of that $1 million idea.
Yes.
Has anyone thought? I'm going all baldy up here.
All right.
Spread my head full of mayo, sit out in the sun for 2 days, bada bing, bada boom.
Oh my God, we can solve male pattern baldness with mayo. You got guys who are spending thousands of dollars flying to Turkey to get hair implants. They don't need to fly to Turkey. They need to put mayonnaise on the head.
Mayo, put it on your head and some turkey. I love it.
And some turkey. Use some of that extra. Make a nice turkey salad sandwich.
Get the pickles involved.
Oh, it's delicious. Anyway, so yeah, I have no interest. The eclipse itself. I have very little to no interest in it. My neighbors are driving. They're going to New York to like see it.
Yeah. No, I have multiple friends like traveling to like.
People are very psyched about this.
My father and mother-in-law are driving out to Missouri to their farm to go watch it. Like, that's how, like...
Yeah. I didn't know people were that into it. Like, is it just one of those, like, closet things that, like, people are really into the moon and stuff, but they just don't talk about it until, like, this? And then it's like...
You know why it doesn't interest me? Because I know when I'm done seeing it, I'm like, it's probably, like, what, 5 minutes?
Total. It's just, okay, so let me,
kind of like, eh.
So let me kind of give you an analogy here, all right? You're a big Cardinals fan. Grew up a big Cardinals fan. Well, now you're a Brewers fan. You've been converted, but you grew up a Cardinals fan.
Right, yeah,
let's just say, okay, let's say you're, you know, again, you're a diehard Brewers fan. You lived in Milwaukee. You adopted the team. That is your team.
Yes.
You know when the season starts. People know you. They know you're a Brewers fan, right?
Right. Right.
If they made the World Series, it would be no surprise to anybody that you would want to go to a game.
100%.
If I was like, hey, I'm going to drop $1,000 to go to that Brewers game and fly across the country, that would be a surprise to you, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
That's kind of how this eclipse thing sounds. I feel like, nice guy, love the family. I've never heard him speak about the moon once. He's never talked about the moon or the sun to me. Kind of feels like a bandwagon fan of the moon.
Yeah.
I think we got a lot of moon bandwagoners.
That's a good analogy, actually. Now that you say it that way, that makes sense.
These bandwagon sun and moon fans, get out of here. I want you talking about the moon all day long if you're really going to get this psyched to drive somewhere to see this thing.
Basically what's happening is it's going to be night for like 5 minutes and it's going to be back to day. That's it.
I mean, I
can make that happen right now. Watch this.
Ooh,
Okay, so my wife is trying to get my son psyched about it, my 4-year-old. And
what is she doing to pump him up?
He honestly has no idea what's happening. He said, so these came in the mail, and he got them. My son has a big lisp. So, and he said, oh, his W's are R, his R's are W. So he goes, Mama got guafed, and she said we're going to go to heaven to see God and the sun. And I thought, you're going to be so disappointed. You're not seeing God. You're not seeing the sun. In fact, you're going to see the opposite of that. You're going to see not the sun.
Will, I'm kind of worried that your wife is like joined a cult, and she's trying to convert your son. I'm not quite sure that description fits anything.
To be fair, I think he just kind of hears what he wants to hear. Somehow he's just like, oh, I think I'm going to go see God. Two nights ago, Jordan and my wife and I were watching Password with the host Kiki Palmer. It's a great show.
Yeah.
And they had a guest on, and he said, they were saying, oh, he's really good at voguing. And I thought, what is voguing? I don't know what this is. And he started to do it, and it's a dance I've started to see over the last maybe 5 or so years. I can't even tip to it, like, you know what I'm talking about.
I look like Squidward, like, when I'm doing it.
Yeah.
I feel like a mother at a school dance trying to show the kids how cool it is. Yeah,
I get laughed out of the gay club so quickly, they would throw me out by their waxed arms. Out in the street. All right. So something I wanted to wrap up on. Something near and dear to my heart. So Trey, my son, is 1.5, and he's finally like starting to pay attention to television, which it's so funny because like when you're reading the baby books and all that stuff, like, you're always like, at least me and Caroline, and we still do a pretty good job, but we're like, we want to limit screen time as much. And we still do, but my God, it is your savior so much when they can just like zone, and you're just like, oh, I just need to breathe. Like, this is just, at some point, like, you know, it's because basically at this point, like, now that he's like crawling and climbing, and he's like either trying to kill himself, basically, or he's like, now he's starting to bite. It's just all these great things, you know? So it's like, if you can just get him to sit and watch something, and then I'm kind of interested, it's great. It, you know, you can be semi-interested in it. Yeah, it's a saving grace. But anyway, so I was on Netflix, and finally he's starting to watch a number of things. We like Peppa Pig.
That's a big one here.
We like the
Corey Carson. You watched that one?
No, I don't know.
It's
that
great
one.
Netflix.
We watched the Spider. There's Lucas the Spider. We like Lucas the Spider.
Never heard of it.
He's pretty awesome. But on Netflix, to my surprise, was a film that, like, I swear, like, I ran, like, the tape down. Like, I'm surprised the tape, the VHS even, I probably stopped working at some point because I watched this movie so much. This movie was Land Before Time.
Classic.
It's a classic. If anybody doesn't know what Land Before Time is, first of all, it's a big millennial. Every millennial should know
yes,
what Land Before Time was. Land Before Time, it's a dinosaur, like, it's dinosaurs, right? So, like, if you're every boy I knew, you know, as a kid growing up, like, you're obsessed with dinosaurs. Dinosaurs are a huge part of, like, your youth. So, cartoon with dinosaurs in it, instantly a classic. But as I rewatched this film, and it's horrifying when I'm watching it, I'm realizing I know, like, I remember every detail, because I've seen this movie like 100, like, it's all the, like, tiny, like, nuances of the movie, like, it was giving me this weird emotional, like, rush. But I also realized, like, this movie is really, really, really depressing. So, to take a step back, Land Before Time, it's about dinosaurs. It's basically the Bambi story, but with dinosaurs. Right?
But even darker, honestly.
Oh, it's so much darker. There's... It's like these... It's like all orphaned dinosaurs are together, and they're trying to survive because there's been some, like, climate shift, and the only place that has anything is some valley that you don't necessarily know, you know, does it exist, does it not? And again, you basically watch, so Littlefoot is,
Littlefoot, to be clear, is the main character.
Littlefoot is the main character, is a baby brontosaurus. I will mention, kind of interesting, other dark fact, you know, and again, everybody's family's different, no judgment, but, it is interesting that, you know, it's grandparents and a single mom. There's no conversation about dad. We don't really know where dad went. That's okay. But that's sort of an interesting, like, you know, okay, there's no dad here. That's okay. And then mom gets killed by what they call a sharp tooth, right? Which is a T-Rex. Other weird thing about Land Before Time, Will, because I think you went back and rewatched it. All the dinosaurs talk. Sharp tooth does not talk. Does not have the ability to talk.
Yeah, he's just hungry for other dinosaur.
He just wants to eat dinosaur.
That's all he wants to do.
So you actually see, like, again, this is a movie I watched at like 3 or 4. Like, you see an image of, like, the T-Rex, like, taking chunks out of mom dinosaur, and then mom dinosaur, like, slowly dying in front of Littlefoot. And then Littlefoot is, like, depressed for, like, a good, like, I would say, like, fifth of the film, because as he should be, because he just witnessed his mother dying. He's not eating. He doesn't want to, like, hang out with the other dinosaurs. And then finally, I think he comes to the resolution, I'm going to die if I don't do something, that he gangs up. He befriends these other dinosaurs, Sarah, Ducky, Petrie, Spike, and they realize they have to go to this valley to survive. The movie's only an hour and 6 minutes long, because I ended up doing a little bit of research, because they had, as dark as the film is, it was way, way darker, and they had to, like, cut out all the super, super dark stuff.
Which crazy. Is nuts, because it's already, like, kind of
so
depressing.
It's only an hour. That's insane too. That, like, this was, can you imagine going to the theater? Because, like, the idea is, if you go to the movie theater, right, it's kind of a great thing as a parent, because, like, you're set to just be able to turn off your brain for, like, 3 hours, right? The movie itself should at minimum be an hour and a half long. At minimum, it's probably going to be closer to an hour 45, even if it's an animated feature. And then you got the previews, you got all that stuff. Can you imagine, how upset would you be in the nowadays if you were to, like, spend, what is it, $15 for a ticket, and you go to the movie theater, and it's an hour and 6 minutes?
I don't know. Actually, I think movies are too long these days.
Well,
I can't pay attention.
I would agree with that, but an hour and six is, I'm saying, give me a good 90 or even an hour 45. That's the sweet spot.
Yeah.
That's the sweet spot. An hour is short, dude. An hour, that is, dude, that's a sermon right there. You know?
Yeah.
That's it. That's all that is. But yeah, it was crazy going back and watching it. It was just so, it was dark, man. It was really, really dark. And I'm like, I can't believe that, like, this was allowed to be made. And then I think about, like, who made it? And it was George Lucas and Steven Spielberg who produced this thing. And I'm like, you guys knew better. What are you doing?
To their credit, I think it was a very successful movie. I think the mark of a successful movie is a lot of spit, like, you know.
Sequels. No, you're right. No, you're right.
Land Before Time has had like 6 sequels.
Oh, it has like 20.
It's crazy.
It is crazy, but it's just crazy that first movie, I mean, it is so sad, so dark. And then they had Diana Ross. I didn't realize it was Diana Ross. I knew there was a song at the end. Didn't realize it was sung by Diana Ross. That's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, so I was doing my research on it, and the girl who plays Petrie, is that what it is?
Yeah, is it the flying dinosaur?
Yeah. So one little orphan dinosaurs. The girl who plays it, at the age of 10, the actress who voiced it, at the age of 10, her dad killed her and set the house on fire.
What?
It's crazy.
What? She,
like, it's super sad. Her dad was like super abusive, and one morning just shot her while she was asleep and then set his house on fire. Like, everything that touches that movie is just sadness.
Yeah, right? Oh my god, this movie should have never come out. This movie
is so depressing.
Evil. Land Before Time. And again, I watched that movie. Like, it was horrifying rewatching it and being like, oh yeah, I know that. Like, little weird details in the movie that you, like, when you start, especially as a child, when you had, like, the kids these days won't understand because they have every movie at their fingertips. But like, you would only have, right? I don't know about you, but we had 10 movies. That was it, and you just watched like them 100 times.
Yeah, We Sing in Sillyville. That was mine.
Yeah, yeah, and you just
rookie of the year. That's it.
Yeah, you just watch them literally 100 times. And that's just what, so like, you start noticing, even as a child, you start noticing like really, like fixating on really weird details, like of the film, which like I remembered all these years later. I'm like, oh yeah, the water in the star, you know, the star leaf. I remembered like the reflection and like how that looked and all these like weird, again, like, and the dinosaur rock, like. Because I remember as a child just being like, oh, that looks like a boss. All those things, because you watch it 100 times. It was crazy. That's insane, though. You get killed there. Oh, that's terrible.
Yeah. As a parent, when you watch that, does it make it a little more sad?
Yeah, I mean, I got really emotional. Well, I can't really. I'm a bitch, man. I got kind of emotional watching that because I already had like the member berries of that film, but like I also have no excuse because like I went back and also I watched Lilo and Stitch with Trey, and I was crying at Lilo and Stitch too. but Lilo and Stitch is also like a really like sad, like that's a film about like parental custody, like that's a really sad movie in and of itself too, and yet
I've never seen it.
I'm telling you what, the plot of Lilo and Stitch is a custody. It's about the plot is it's this Hawaiian sisters. Their parents died, and the older sister is about to lose custody of the younger sister, and all of a sudden they find a space alien, Stitch, which is actually was designed to be a weapon, and then starts pretending to be a dog, and Lilo and Stitch happen, and it's pretty dark too. Like, I watched that movie and I was like, I was crying. I didn't
want. If you had asked me when Lilo and Stitch came out, I would have told you like 2014. That came out in 2002.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's crazy.
Came out the same. You know what's weird about? I don't know why I know this. That came out the same week, I think, as like Born Identity, I think, or like Minority Report, something like. I don't know why I know that, but like I do.
That's crazy.
It is crazy. So yeah, that was something that kind of tore me up watching Land Before Time, and a movie did not need. It was a movie about dinosaurs, for God's sakes. It didn't need to be that dark. It just needed like dinosaurs. Like you have a hit on your hand. You don't need to like create a super dark plot.
You know what though?
But
time now. That's an emotional movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it got me, man. It definitely got me.
Did Trey like it?
I mean, you know, Trey watched it for about 20 minutes, and then he really wanted to put his blocks into a bowl. Trey's biting the couch now. That's his new thing. He started.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. Does he see your dogs doing it? Like, what? Why?
I have no idea why he's. And then he bit me tonight too. I got bit.
Prepare for a world. My oldest son has bit me so many times just spontaneously. There's nothing like it.
Well,
it
apparently,
hurts so much.
Apparently, my wife was a really bad biter as a child. Like to
it's
the point
pain,
where, like, to the point where, like, her mom like chuckles about it. But like, she was like biting kids, and they'd have to like leave places like very quickly because she would bite kids, other kids.
Yeah. Archie, my oldest son, was a biter, and he and his oldest or his cousin, who's the same age as him, they butt heads a lot. And so last Christmas,
like literally butt heads,
like well no, like they argue a lot.
Oh, okay.
And his cousin took a toy from him, and so Archie wasn't having him, and he bit him in the arm and made him bleed. My son is a biter. He's made me bleed a couple times too.
Well, it's like the ultimate pout, like teeth and biting, and like the. I remember as a child, I was horrified. I was horrified of the idea of being eaten. Like that was the scariest thing in the world to me. Like I remember like finding out. All right, I'll just say it. I was really, really scared. You know, Child's Play, Chucky, the doll?
Oh, yeah.
I was petrified of Chucky probably until, I'm not joking, probably not until late middle school did I start getting over it. Like, my heart would palpitate. The only reason I knew who Chucky was, and this is the really crazy thing, do you remember Homeland Grocery Store?
Yes.
Okay. So Homeland Grocery Store used to have like a lot of grocery. This is a sad thing. We have to like educate like young people if they're listening to this. Mm-hmm. So grocery stores used to have like a mini Blockbuster, which was a place where you would rent VHS or DVDs for children. That's what that means.
I totally forgot about this.
They would have these in them. It was like and it usually wasn't a great selection, but they would have something in it. Well, right by the deli counter, right by the deli counter, they had the movies and they had Child's Play, and like they had that doll with a knife with like a thing. And here's the thing. I knew nothing about the movie. I didn't have to know anything about the movie. All I did was see that picture, and that picture scared me to death. But get this. So I was scared of Chucky for years. Finally, my dad told me he kills people with a knife. And for me, for me, I had a sense of relief. Because up until that point, I thought Chucky ate people.
Like he's cutting it up like a steak and.
No. I literally thought he would just eat you. And like eating people was scary. A knife is not as scary as to a child. I don't know why, but in my brain I was like.
Well, to you, yeah.
Yeah, to me, I was like, knife, not scary. Something that would eat me, scary. That was the logic my brain followed. I don't know. That may be a kid logic thing. I would wonder if you like pulled 100 kids, if you're like, what's scary? A knife? A weapon? Or the idea that this is going to eat you? I'd be willing to bet most of them would say eating. And I just think, like, biting, eat, like, all that, it's a thing.
Interesting. So, do you think your dad knew, like, oh, if I just tell JC, oh, no, 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 he just kills people, that was going to be comforting to you?
I don't know. Joel is, like, the sweetest man in the world, but he did stir the pot a lot. Like, the more I, like, look back at it, like, he lied to me a lot as a child. Like, he would just, like, they would always be, like, very, like, sweet white lies, but he did it regularly, and he would just kind of, like, walk away. Like, he told me at one point that, like, that him and one of my uncles lived in a whale for a couple of days when they went to Alaska or the North Pole, and I believed it for years. He would say, you know, he would lie about his profession. He was a doctor.
What did he say he did?
You know, he'd be like, I'm a doctor, I'm this, I'm also this.
Your dad told you he was a doctor?
Yeah, he would say some of these things. And you just kind of said, oh, okay. I mean, you know, he would just...
No way. Your dad told you at one point he was a doctor.
You know what? Maybe the doctor part was my grandfather. My grandfather...
So you just weren't listening.
That very well could have been. That was often the problem. No, maybe it's Poppy. Poppy definitely lied about his profession. Poppy told us he was a professional at a lot of different things. Everything. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. My dad would say things and then walk off. Like he would do those sorts of for as sweet as Joel was, he had like a certain rules. He had very like one of the rules that he had was like he was very, it was really interesting. Like there was a point we used to go whenever we went down to Texas, we would go to Six Flags as kids. And you know, I was always, there's the Texas Giant there, which is like one of the largest wooden roller coasters. Oh, yeah. And my dad, like, he was like, you're going to go on this. And I was like, what? And it was like a rite of passage. And I didn't want to go on it. And in fact, I cried hysterically for like 45 minutes while in line. But he was like, you're going to do this. I've never seen my dad, like, I don't even know, like, to this day if there's anything he's been, like, more passionate about. But he was like, this is good for you. You have to, like...
So do you appreciate it now?
I don't really know. It was just in retrospect, it was just a roller coaster. I enjoyed it. I was really glad that I did it because I think in some way it did give me, a confidence. It did give me... Because, you know, back then, right, like, if you think about it, like, on the playground, like, you really had, like, the list of accomplishments you could have, one of which would have to be, like, what's the big... Like, if I was just meeting you, Will... And I was sizing you up, right? And you said, well, I went on the Texas Giant. I would instantly be like, all right, this guy, it's the equivalent of, you know, where did you go to college? Right. You know, like, oh, I went to Yale. Oh, I went to Brown University. Okay, all right. I rode the Texas Giant. Yeah.
You know what? I think every dad has done that to their son. Because when I was, middle school, I played baseball. My dad's a big baseball guy. And I loved all sports. But, you know, my dad really wanted me to play baseball. He never forced me, but he really wanted me to play baseball. And so I played for a competitive team growing up. And I was good, but it became apparent when I was like in seventh grade that I was in a tournament and my dad realized, I think Will's afraid of getting hit by the ball because when the ball would come a little close, because seventh grade and I played for a grade older than me. So I was like getting exposed to better competition. He would notice that I kind of when the ball come close, jump back. And it was in a tournament, so it was in between games. He said, are you afraid of getting hit by the ball? And I said, yeah, I just don't like it. And he said, it's a part of the game.
Well, wait, hold on. Your response was, yeah, I don't like it. Yeah, it's a ball. It's a ball being thrown at you. Yeah, that's a fair response. Yeah. And then if your dad's like, it doesn't hurt, that's bullshit. It gets better.
So I had about an hour in between game, right? So my dad went to my coach and said, I need to borrow the bucket of balls. And he said, okay. So we went to a field that wasn't being used, and he said, I'm going to throw these balls at you. I'm going to give you BP, right? I'm going to throw a couple strikes. You hit them, but I'm going to intentionally hit you. And you got to stay in there and take them, because this ball is not going to kill you. You're going to be fine. And I was like, I don't want to do this. And he's like, you're going to do it. And he was like, much like the roller coaster, he said, you're going to do it.
God, dads are idiots. Dads, can we just say that? Like,
here's the thing. To his credit, just like you, when you got off, you felt proud that you faced your fear. It was kind of like, it made me feel stupid. I was like, yeah, it hurts, but it's not like, I'm fine. And ever since then, every time I would get hit by a ball, it was kind of like a badge of honor. It was like, yeah, I can take that.
I was hoping you were gonna say he did it and he broke my nose, and I didn't speak to my dad for 2 weeks.
No, it was almost kind of like it made me feel silly, and then after that I was like, all right, I guess I'm not afraid of it. Every dad, I'm sure, will do it to my son. You'll do it to your son. You force your kid to do something because you know they're being irrational about it.
Yeah, of course, fear. Of course. I mean, that's part of. Listen, Listen, every dad needs to bully their son to a degree. Like, there's always...
You're even in that piranha water. You're going to be fine, you sissy.
Good for you.
So, we're going to look...